I'm Connor Cyrus, one of the hosts of Vermont Edition, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. We saved you some time to get it right, so you only have the good stuff. I hope you enjoy. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Later in the show, my co-host, Michaela LaFrac, will check in with our colleague, Eric Ford, to learn more about the upcoming season of Made Here. We'll learn about premieres by filmmakers from across New England and Quebec, covering everything from winter surfing to art on toast. But first, home appraisals. It's a word that many homebuyers are familiar with, but what does it actually mean, and why is it in the news now? Well, as many of you know, homes in Vermont have been selling quickly and for more money than their assessed value. When the gap between the sale price and the listed price is too big, the state requires a reappraisal. And now, after a real estate boom helped fuel these rising home prices, about two-thirds of Vermont's cities and towns face mandatory reassessment of what those homes are worth. To help us make sense of what this means, I want to welcome Jill Remick. She's the Director of Property Valuation and Review for the Vermont Department of Taxes. Her job is to work with towns and municipalities to administer everything related to education and property taxes. Jill, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jill, before we get started, I'm just curious, how did you get started in this industry?
Oh, gosh. I have been a longtime state employee here in Vermont. I worked at the Agency of Education for a long time, so I became pretty enmeshed in education funding. And then I have been here at the tax department since 2015.
So not quite. So a path to through education, you know, talking about taxes, that's unexpected, but maybe not so unexpected?
Yeah, I mean, it's all connected, right? So the way that Vermont's education funding system works, it's a statewide system, right? So we all pay into the statewide education fund. The idea being that all of our students, regardless of what town they live in, are getting a substantially equal education. So there is definitely a really close link to the work we did at education. And then obviously working really closely with the legislature to implement the statewide system. And then a huge part of our work here in the tax department is working directly with all the town officials across the state in everything related to the property tax administration. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's dive in. So broadly speaking, can you explain the Vermont real estate market in recent years and what it means for the grand list or property values in the state?
Right. So I think it's no secret over the last few years with COVID that we've seen even more of an increase in demand for residential housing, specifically in Vermont. I think it's important for folks to keep in mind, we were definitely already seeing some pretty outdated grand lists prior to the boom, meaning that at each town level, there's a listed value of your property. And that is what the fundamentals of both the statewide education and property tax and all of your municipal property taxes are based on. We have a statewide system, we manage that, and then we also, in our division, do an annual review every year. We work directly with the towns to do kind of a three-year look back. We literally look at a ton of data as far as what the property transfer tax returns are telling us. In other words, what people are buying and selling houses for, who's buying and selling those houses, how much they're paying, how much they're paying over their listed value. So we do this really in-depth data analysis. There were about 20,000 sales in our last study for 1 year. As expected, in the last 3 years, we've seen a pretty significant increase in the values of what people are willing to pay for homes. And certainly what they're listed at the local level is not necessarily reflective of that. So another way to think about it is that statewide, the overall grand list of the state of Vermont increased 12% just in the last year. So very substantial increase in what folks are able to pay for residential housing specifically.
And just to make sure we're on the same page, that grand list is that 20,000 of houses that were transferred, correct?
No, so the grand list is about a little over 300,000 parcels.
Oh, that's all, that's
the entire
in the
state of Vermont.
That's yep. All the real estate.
And then
okay.
For the last year, it was 20,000 sales that happened that we analyzed.
And yep. That 20,000, how does that compare to pre-pandemic years?
It is a little higher. I think, you know, it's funny because obviously there's only so many properties to go around in Vermont. So the last few years, we have seen a significant increase in the sales, but more importantly, the dollars that are spent in these sales has gone up significantly. So there's only so many houses to go around. It's definitely slowing down a lot already, right? The folks that were able and willing to buy or sell homes largely have been able to do so or did something different. So it kind of had an impact on every aspect of our work, right? So like listers and assessors and town clerks had a lot more transfers that they were processing. Our team also administers the current use program. We saw a lot of property changing hands in the current use program. So it's had a ripple effect on all the work that we do. You can kind of see all the different data is telling us about the demand for residential property in Vermont.
Now, our newsroom, to nobody's surprise, we get a lot of press releases. But one that came our way yesterday claimed that Vermont has the third highest rise in home prices over the last year. That's according to research from a group of realtors in California. Does your data support that? Because what those realtors said was, and I quote, the average house price in Vermont is now $386,000, an increase of nearly 17% over the last year. Does that data support what you're saying?
It does. Our analysis is really specifically for about maintaining the statewide grand list. So we, as part of analysis, you know, we sort of throw out what we call outliers or extremes, right? So those really strange sales that are way above or way below. We also analyze whether folks included things like personal property. So an example of that would be if I bought a farm and some land with a farm, am I also paying for some of the equipment, the farm equipment or the hay and things like that? So we weed through all of that data. We had to really kind of expand our scope of what we considered an outlier and an extreme this year because we had folks paying, you know, $100,000, double, so on and so forth over listed value and even over asking. A great resource for more about the real estate market in Vermont is the Vermont Housing and Finance Agency. I think this is yet another symptom, frankly, of the huge demand we have for residential housing in Vermont. This is just another sort of data set that's showing us the demand is far exceeding the supply. And the thing is, if folks are worried about their property taxes going up, it's important to remember, too, that if we have more Vermont property taxpayers, then we're sharing that load, right? Because we're a statewide system, just because your listed value is not at 100%, it doesn't necessarily mean your taxes are going to go up or go up exponentially because it's all about paying into that statewide education fund. So in a typical year, there might be a half a dozen or two dozen towns that have get under a reappraisal order, meaning that their grand list is really out of whack with what we're seeing with sales. In this past year, only one town, and it's a very small town called Somerset, actually saw their CLA go up. The other towns that saw their CLA go up were accurate because they just reappraised this past year. So basically, in the same way that there's that saying about sort of a rising tide lifts all ships, so a lowering tide lowers all ships. So because Vermont is all in the same boat, our statewide CLA is so low, that's actually good news as far as the impact it's going to have on property tax rates because it's shared equally across the state. But I do think this is yet another data point about the demand that we have for residential housing in Vermont. We really need to do something about that for many reasons. And this data is just another example of that.
I want to take a step back and just get our listeners caught up who might be entering this conversation for the first time. A CLA is a common level of appraisal. Can you explain what that is and what a high or low CLA means?
Sure. And I think it's important for folks to have that distinction between what the grand list and the property tax listed value is of your house versus like what you see on Zillow or other places, right? So what we and the towns are responsible for maintaining is this statewide grand list, which is meant to be fair market value. So in an ideal world, all of our property would always be valued at 100% every year. And we would have a very accurate list. That's not the reality, not in Vermont and not in any other state, right? So what we have to do is we have to generate basically a factor. So this analysis that we do creates the CLA. We look at a 3-year window of sales so that it's not super volatile just year by year. But as we mentioned, right, the last 3 years are really now we fully encompassed that that COVID bubble of real estate boom. So the CLA is essentially a factor that's applied to the education property tax rates to make sure that each town is sending their fair share to the state's education fund. So we do this study every year. We see what the sales are doing in each town. We analyze not only the town's, the difference between the sales and what property is listed at, but also valuation of property within a category. So all the residential, all the commercial, industrial, things like that. And we look at that over the 2-year, 3-year window. So then we actually apply that CLA, the common level of appraisal, to each town's tax rate. Sort of, it's a basically an indirect way to adjust the property values to get at that fair market value for the Ed Fund.
So what does a high CLA mean?
Right. So in a town where properties are generally selling for less than what they're listed for, the CLA is over 100%. A town where properties are selling for more than they're listed for will have a CLA under 100%. So it's basically sort of that difference between the listed value and the sales value. So statewide, it was hovering right around 95%, meaning that basically the ratio between what we have things listed at and what they're selling for was pretty close, about 95%. And that was sort of chugging right along until March 2020, right? And then that differential between what things are listed at and what they're selling for declined. And now the statewide CLA is 83%. And some Vermont towns actually had some in the 60s and 70s. And the statute requires a reappraisal if a town goes below 85%.
And again, I know we're kind of explaining this, so I might ask the same question over, but I just want to make sure that I'm understanding and the listeners are understanding. Why is this important for homeowners to understand and get a grasp of CLAs?
Right. Sort of part of me says they shouldn't have to worry about it.
We don't have a show.
Understanding this. Right. But I think, you know, what I think is really important for folks to just remember fundamentally is that Vermont's statewide education property tax system, the way that we share that responsibility across all Vermont towns to make sure our students have what they need and the education fund gets what it needs to fully fund schools, is considered incredibly progressive and fair compared to where a lot of states are. So before we went to a statewide education funding system, then property-rich towns had a lot more capital to spend. They had a lot more taxing capacity to fund their schools. And so there was a pretty major distinction between what Vermont schools were getting. So as a result of that, you know, as a result of there was a Supreme Court decision and then Act 60 and Act 68 in the late 90s, Vermont is now a statewide system. So I think it's important for folks to remember that we all are in this together. We all are paying into the statewide education property tax system, and that it is incredibly sort of progressive. That makes it really complicated to explain, but the idea is to make it as fair as possible for Vermonters. I also think it's important for folks to keep in mind that over 2/3 of Vermonters actually have their property tax bills reduced under the income sensitivity. So folks might see on their property tax bill, they'll see something called a state payment or a property tax credit. So basically, if you're a Vermont resident, you've declared your homestead, which is a form folks should be filling out with their income taxes this spring. Then, depending on your income, you may be eligible for a reduction on your property taxes. So we at the tax department actually send those payments to the towns. They apply that credit to folks' property tax bills.
And is that something that homeowners have?
Of Vermonters.
Is that something that homeowners have to apply for? And is there another step for them to get that, or is that an automatic?
Right. So all Vermont residents who have a homestead should submit a homestead declaration with their income tax returns. And then there is a different system if you're a renter. There are things called the landlord certificate, which I'm not necessarily as well versed in, but the idea is the same. So Vermont residents absolutely every year are supposed to file their homestead declaration with their income taxes.
We got an email from Paul in Hinesburg about CLAs and equity. Paul writes, someone recently shared their belief that reassessing properties is an equity issue because it disproportionately affects owners of lower priced homes that hit the market more frequently than higher priced homes. But I thought CLA was a tool to avoid affecting one type of homeowner versus the other. Jill, where do you weigh in on this discussion of CLAs being equitable or not?
Right. So I think it is. I think that's a really great point. I have to say, sort of nationally and internationally, there's a lot more focus on the subjectivity, whether it's conscious or not, of, you know, appraisal practices in general and how that can be changed. And folks are certainly taking that really seriously. In Vermont, the CLA is you know, it, like I said, it's calculated based on data analysis and then applied at the town level. So it does not change depending on the particular property. So it is the tool that we have. It's a pretty sophisticated tool to have. I'm not saying it's the only way to do it, but under the current statewide education property tax system, this is really our way to town by town, make sure that each town is sending that town's fair amount to the education fund. So there are towns which are incredibly property rich, right? And those towns are having their properties adjusted appropriately, and then that town is liable to send that money into the education fund. There are towns for which they don't have a lot of value on their grand list. They are also able to fully fund their schools, that their school budgets they vote on. So that's the mechanism we have right now. I do think it's a fair point, right, that just assessment in general, nationally and internationally, like I said, are taking a harder look at how the practice can be improved to be truly as equitable as possible.
Now, Jill, one thing I'm curious about is if you know what impact all of this has on renters.
Right. So certainly rental properties are not immune from the CLA impacting them. So I think, as with everything related to the demand for residential property in Vermont, while a renter may not directly pay a property tax bill, I have to believe that this impact of the high demand for residential is also probably translating into some pretty high, lease and rental fees. There is an income sensitivity program for renters. It's called the Landlord Certificate Program. Folks could look up on our website, because my team does not administer that, but I am aware that that is another possible avenue. But yes, certainly it's not isolated to just single family homes. Commercial properties and rental units, duplexes, any multifamily dwellings are just as impacted by this high demand as other properties.
I want to go to the phones and let's talk to Deborah in South Burlington. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. I'm a senior citizen on a fixed income, and I live in Chittenden County. And we have condominiums here that were appraised during COVID. It was a very good market then, and so they appraised very high, which really impacted a lot of people. They also didn't do it very fairly, because apparently they were an outside group, and they didn't even know that some of these condos are small and some of them are very large. And so some of the small owners were hit with huge assessments that were beyond them to pay. So now you cannot have a fair market value, because now the values have gone down since COVID has changed everything. So I just wondered, what can we do about that, especially for people who are on a fixed income?
Thank you for that call, Deborah. Jill, how do you respond to, I guess, outside sources maybe not assessing the property values the way maybe Vermonters would?
Yeah, there's a lot there. I think, first of all, I think it's important to remember that, as I mentioned, there is a property tax credit program. There is an income sensitivity. I think the caller's question is a question a lot of folks have across the state who, your income doesn't necessarily rise with the value of your property by any means. But there are programs. There is the property tax credit program. There's actually income sensitivity up to a $400,000 home, depending on income. So I think that's important that folks do file their homestead declaration and apply for their property tax credit. Regarding the outside firms, I think there's a couple pieces there. You know, Vermonters and Vermont definitely like to think that we in Vermont are the experts. That being said, I think we're going to have to think really creatively about how we cover the entire state and getting these reappraisals done. And also, I want to make sure folks understand that if you are not happy with your valuation, if you think there's a mistake, you definitely do have multiple levels of appeal. You can appeal to your lister or assessor. You can appeal to your Board of Civil Authority. Beyond that, appeals can come to either myself as the director of PVR. We have a team of hearing officers who actually hear about 80 of those a year, or folks can also appeal to the Superior Court. So ideally, definitely, especially if folks think there's actually an abject error on how their value was arrived at, their lister should be providing them, or their assessor should be providing them, with information and notice about how they can grieve that value. And then the last thing I'll say, frankly, is I know that the state economist was speaking recently with lawmakers, and I am not a real estate market expert. I have to be clear, I'm a tax I'm a tax department employee. But the state economist was really clear that they don't see the demand for residential housing going down in Vermont so significantly. I actually think that towns who've appraised more recently are actually in better shape than some of the ones that are under order whose grand lists haven't actually been appraised for 10 years. I just think it's really important that folks understand the order is not really the problem, right? In every other state, or pretty much every other state, there's a window of time. You're supposed to reappraise your grand list every so often. In New Hampshire, it's 5 years. The national standard is every 4 to 6 years. So you really want...
Jill, are you still there? Jill, do we have you back?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. There we go. Let's actually go to the phones and let's talk to David in Andover. David, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, David, what's your question or comment? Go ahead and speak.
Yeah, so first of all, I moved here 2 years ago. I'm pretty familiar with how the homestead works. So I just had kind of a multi-question. First of all, I added a garage to my property, and I cleared, I'd say, about an acre. So one part of my question would be, would that be something that would lead to higher taxes? Let's start with that part. Would that generally put me in a situation where I would pay more taxes on the property?
Jill?
Well, so your valuation is based on fair market value. And if you do some sort of substantial improvement like that, then certainly. And I think another way to look at it is, if your neighbor did that, would you think their property has increased in value? Probably. There is a difference between that and what's called sales chasing, which is not a recommendation for, it's not a good assessment practice where your grand list value is adjusted based on, you know, whatever someone who purchased your home bought it for example. But if you do some sort of a substantial improvement, so for example, we've added a story to our home, we put a new roof on, to your example of a garage, those are substantial improvements to the property that absolutely would show up on a lister card. In a lot of towns, they keep track of that via permitting. So that's called, in our field, it's called grand list maintenance. Those are absolutely true improvements to the property that should be listed accordingly.
David, thank you so much for your question. I do want to move on, so I'm not going to get to go to that your second question. But Jill, I do want to ask you, what goes into an appraisal and what do homeowners need to know? Like, I understand that you don't have to let the appraiser into your house. Are there any other things that people should know?
Yeah, and I think so what we're undergoing right now, what each town is responsible for is a reappraisal of their entire townwide grand list. So the towns generally should be contracting. There are professional assessor individuals and firms that can carry out this work. They've got the staff to do it. They've got the computer software to do it. They're an objective third party. So they actually come in, they travel around the state. They have what they call data collectors who actually go out and sort of do measurements, take photos, gather up information. Nowadays, there's a lot of new technology or new options that may not have been available before. In a lot of other states and in certain towns in Vermont, you might get a mailer that says, hey, we're just confirming you haven't added a garage, or a permits show that you did a deck. Did you actually add that sort of thing? So they might do some sort of a pre-data collection. And then the town will let you know. They'll send you a note, let you know the window of time that the reappraisal will be happening. It's important for folks to know this usually takes place over several months, if not years. It takes a while to do all this work. And then there's a huge amount of data analysis that happens after all the information about all the parcels is gathered. So then at the end of that process, the firm will provide the town with their recommended grand list value for each parcel. The lister or assessor in your town will let you know your new assessed value and provide an opportunity for you to appeal. That's also known as a grievance hearing. So everyone is certainly has that option available to them. Like I said, they can appeal to their local lister assessor, make an explanation, talk about properties that might be nearby or that might be comparable. And so that's sort of the window of the process. So I think for folks who are wondering, you know, what this is going to look like, you should get, like I said, you should get a mailer from your town letting you know this is happening. They may schedule appointments to come. They may leave a piece on your door. You don't have to let them in. I think it's helpful, especially if you're concerned that your valuation might not be accurate. I think it's better for them to have more information than less. And then there's also a lot of technology out there now, right? So there's also all kinds of neat tools that assessors can use to just do sort of a footprint of buildings and land and things like that that don't require an interior inspection. The other piece I'd say is that one of the good things that came out of COVID was that we were able to be pretty creative in how people can conduct inspections safely. And so another option that folks might get is their town might offer, and I'm not speaking for anyone in particular, but I know we did this in the last couple of years, to do like a FaceTime version. So basically a virtual walkthrough that doesn't require having someone come into your home, but they can get the gist of the number of rooms and the quality of the home and things like that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna let you finish.
I was just gonna say the kicker is even before COVID, we did not have enough appraisers to do this work. There was already a pretty significant backlog. And as a result of these aging grand lists and the demand for residential property in Vermont, we now have over half of Vermont towns are likely going to be under an order for a reappraisal. A lot of them are very much proactively already on that. Towns that have been under order or interested are on waiting lists for 3-4 years now already. They're already scheduling these out to 2027. So I think it's really, if nothing else, I'd love for your listeners to know that there's a fantastic career opportunity out there. Being an assessor or an appraiser is kind of an interesting job. There's not a straightforward career path or degree path to that. A lot of folks in Vermont, it's actually sort of passed down from generations. There's literally families because that's how folks know about this business. But it's very self-directed. The support and the requirements and training are very clear between either our division at the tax department or the Secretary of State's office. And there is huge demand, and that demand is not going anywhere.
Chuck in Heartland emailed us and wants to know, when a town is appraised, who pays for it? And is there any compensation for the state?
So every year, actually, the state, the legislature has appropriated, and our division pays out. Every year, we send out $3 million in reappraisal funds to Vermont towns. It's divided up among the towns based on a per parcel count. So the towns get $8.50 per parcel, $8.50 per parcel every year. So as you can imagine, the smaller towns, it's a pretty small amount of money, and then some of the larger towns get a pretty significant amount. The idea being that the reappraisal is basically usually charged on a per parcel basis. And so the idea is that the towns get this annual appropriation, which is paid out every year. They should kind of be tucking that away, setting that aside, maybe setting aside some of their own funds as well, so that when it's time to do a reappraisal, whether the town is proactively doing that work or they become under order because of the results of their study, they have the money to do that reappraisal. And so when the legislature established that funding mechanism, the idea is that because both the statewide education grand list and all the municipalities and the municipalities' local property tax revenue, right, are built on this, there's kind of a shared interest in the grand list being correct. And so that per parcel payment that goes out to all the towns every year, that $3 million, is meant to sort of be the state's contribution to the reappraisals.
I want to go back to the phones, and I want to talk to Tom in Central Vermont. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on. My question is, my town was reappraised last year, and my value went up by about 17%, which seemed pretty acceptable. But I contacted the town offices to get the old grand list number and the new proposed grand list number. And what I was told was the old grand list number was not readily available. And the new grand list number they couldn't give me because the new the reappraisal had not been accepted yet. So I had no basis whatsoever to compare my increase in taxes versus the overall increase in grand list value in the town. And I'm wondering if that's normal. It seemed odd to me that I couldn't get either one of those numbers.
Jill?
Yeah, I think that's unfortunate because that was probably a missed opportunity for them to be transparent and provide you what you needed. So, towns do maintain this information at the local level. Some are available, actually several are now available online, which is pretty handy. I've always been able to go onto the Montpelier, where I live, webpage and look up the grand list as a PDF. There's also some really neat tools. VCGI, which is the Vermont Center for Geographic Information, is our partner agency that does mapping. And they have a really easy span lookup. So you can actually look up your span and look up the grand list year, and it can tell you that information too. We are about to actually roll out our own software. We're working with towns to roll out the software to administer this whole thing. We're halfway through and it's going really well. And we will also be able to have a much easier way to access grant lists. So we here in the tax department do have some years back. So depending on what you're looking for, you're welcome to email tax.pvr@vermont.gov and we can take a look. But yeah, your town office should generally have that information because it's helpful for them to provide that transparency for you.
Now, Jill, one of the things you talked about not too long ago was some of the workforce challenges and that this was a good job opportunity for people who might be interested in doing it. But I'm curious, how does this impact Vermonters and their reassessments, reappraisals?
I think, like I said, you know, Vermonters really need to understand this as part of the statewide system, and we're really trying to catch up our information that we have to what's going on in the market. It's one of the many factors that actually ends up on your tax rate. So other spending, your local education spending, your spending per pupil, the tax yield, which is sort of the equivalency tax rate that the legislature will set during this session. All of those other factors also impact what actually happens on your tax rate. So I think it's important for folks to know the CLA feels like this big, scary boogeyman, but frankly, it's one of many factors and it's just the data. It's showing us what the real estate market is actually doing and it's making sure that all Vermonters and all Vermont towns are paying their fair share.
Speaking of CLAs, Elizabeth asked us, and she wanted us to clarify, is CLA related to homestead sales or is it all homes, including second homes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do calculate if we have enough sales. We do it by category. So there are, I think, 11 grand list categories. There's residential plus land, there's commercial, and it is all of the above, right? So all of the sales, regardless of what kind of sale or what kind of property and who owns them, are included in the equalization study. So we do, for the town's edification, we do also analyze it based on particular categories. Second homes are a little harder to quantify. We don't track them directly by that because what one person thinks a second home means may not be the other, right? Are we talking about a Vermonter's camp that they use in the summer? Are we talking about a rental property? You know, there's lots of different versions of second homes. And so that's actually not as straightforward a way to quantify. But yes, any sale of any kind of property, land, industrial, whatever, are all included in the CLA.
And in this last minute with you, can you tell us resources for people to get more information? If they heard something today and they are like, oh, I want to go back or I want more information, where can they go?
Sure. I think if folks, we have obviously our webpage is tax.vermont.gov. There's lots of great information on there if you really want to get into the weeds or if you really want to dig into the data. But there also are some really clear FAQs about what's on my property tax bill and why, what is a reappraisal and why. And then I also think, frankly, your local assessing officials, we're in the process right now of reviewing appeals to the study that we released in December. So the reappraisal orders for this latest round won't be going out until sometime this spring, because right now they're in the appeal window. But there were already dozens of towns that were under reappraisal order who have their plans underway. So I think, answer short. Folks can check out our webpage or talk with their local assessment officials.
That is Jill Remick. She's the Director of Property Valuation and Review for the Department of Taxes. Jill, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you. Hope it was helpful. Thanks for having
me. Absolutely.